Welcome to Refirement Life, the podcast for anyone navigating life transitions or planning to make life transitions to ensure your next years are your best years. Listen in for insightful, generous, and sometimes humorous conversation. It's time to get fired up with Christine Zamuda and Muge Wood, your hosts for this latest episode of Refirement Life.
Hello, and welcome to Refirement Life, episode 53. Today, we're going to talk about the pros and cons of being competitive and even have a little opportunity for us to rate ourselves with a survey. So if you are listening today and you want to participate, I would get just a pencil nearby, seven easy questions later in the session to see how competitive you are. So hello, Muge. It's great to see you as always.
Hello, everyone. And I'm already excited because I love taking a test. So, get your pencil ready. A multiple choice test. I was the kind of student front row, right? I love taking a test. So I'm looking forward to this episode, Christine.
I bet you were a good test taker. I mean, when you just said, I love taking a test, it just like flashed back to, did you ever have that experience where your teacher gave you a test and then it had instructions and they said, read the whole thing in its entirety before you do the test? And then like the second to last question said, start with question 10 or you'll lose points. Like I was that kid who was just rushing, you know, looking at the whole thing, not very detail oriented until, you know, you kind of learn those skills.
Yeah, it is hard to hold back, especially when you get these booklets and you know what you need to get through. I was not that good at that either. I was like, okay, I'm starting. I'm a go, a racehorse style, right? So, yes, I know.
Very nice. Well, I was thinking about, you know, we did some episodes on the Olympics, you know, the U.S. Open, and it just got me thinking, you know, are highly competitive people, are they more successful? And how does competitiveness perhaps change over the course of our lives? I looked into some data just to see what the surveys say, and it does say that a significant portion of the population identifies as competitive. And while these numbers can vary, they say about 50 to 60% of people in the U.S. consider themselves at least moderately competitive, with a smaller percentage, around 10 to 20%, identifying as highly competitive. So and I guess the you know, the remainder, like, I'm not competitive at all. Like, you take the prize. I will watch you. I will, you know, cheer you from the sidelines. The other thing that we learned in doing some of this research is that there are other traits associated normally with being competitive. Those people are typically more extroverted. And tend to have low levels of agreeableness. And that sounds like you could be a little grouchy, but maybe it's more like you're strong-minded. What do you think, Muge?
Yeah, it is interesting. First of all, I think it's a fascinating topic because I think everybody has a streak of competitiveness in them. It just depends on what it is about. With competitiveness, I think there may come also a bit of focus, intensity, that may translate as aggression. So I think in my experiences, it's almost essential to have a bit of competitiveness that may be equivalent to having drive to succeed, not only succeed, but put in the effort to learn and excel in whatever is of interest to you. But then how do you moderate it so that, one, you are not burning yourself out with impossible standards of perfection and expectation, and two, not driving those around you crazy? So love to compete in certain things, but, you know, also check in with others around you in terms of, you know, your effect on them.
That would be interesting.
And the reason I you know, my adventures in tennis, right? For me, tennis is a completely social fun activity. I am not competing to be in a league win, and I just don't have that kind of talent or interest to put in the hours to practice that much to get better. So completely social and fun. But then when you run into people who really take it a whole lot more seriously from the perspective of the game, I must say I have to avoid that scene, and they avoid me because we don't match interest, skill, etc. But you can just see the intensity, the focus, the desire and the drive and how these people show up versus someone like me, more worried about the outfit and the shoes and just, you know, wanting to have fun. So, I mean, I think it's very fascinating how it shows itself. But I would say from all my experiences, whether work or personal, you have to have a degree of it, competitiveness, that is, to get better and achieve results. Otherwise, it's just going to be a casual endeavor.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. And I can relate to what you said about playing tennis, but I'm the other person. I'm the person who is on the court when I'm playing in a match. I'm laser focused, and like it can ruin my week if I lose a match.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
I think it stays with me. It stays with me.
I think you and I may need to be on the same side of the court then.
So, yes.
but this is, I think, a perfect example, right? And it is not right or wrong. I think it is what you care about and how much it matters to you and where you channel your energies. The other side is, I think we can get competitive. I think there's a certain element of competitiveness sometimes. It may just manifest itself differently. I'm sure you and everyone else, our listeners, experience this to a certain extent. You know, in my family, let's say we play Monopoly. And oh my gosh, like everybody wants to win, taking it very seriously. I want to own all the railroads and airports, and I will bankrupt you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we are family trying to have fun. So, I mean, the kind of competitiveness and desire to win, it can come out in a lot of unexpected ways. Some of it is fun, and some of it is like, okay, is this too much? Can we dial it back?
Totally, totally. And you know, in those moments when you're like, we need to dial this back.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Well, let's jump into the quiz. So I'll read it. I'm going to take it along with you. And our listeners can take it as well. It's 7 quick questions. And then we'll see how we do after this. So the first question is, and we just touched on this, when playing a game or sport, how do you feel about winning? A, it doesn't matter as long as I'm having fun. B, I prefer to win, but it's not a big deal if I lose. And C, winning is everything, and I'll do whatever it takes.
Got it.
Yeah. And I'm just going to tell what my answers are. My answer is C.
Oh, my God. As soon as you read it, I'm like, I am A. I'm having fun, and you know, that is I've been a person of more okay, I'm gonna be like academic achievement and work and all that. Athletics for me has been always secondary, which was unfortunate because it is great for you. So I'm just catching on, you know, in this life, and I'm like, yeah, fun is very important. So
totally yeah. and winning is fun.
It's fun. That is a great point, because in order to have a certain amount of fun, you do need a certain level of competency, because it's not fun when what you're doing, whether it's golf, tennis, any sport, you know, the ball is nowhere to be found or it's never at court. You know, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. But having that mindset of being able to turn it on and turn it off is important too, right? While you're starting to build your skills, I think that's a really good point about context. All right, so number 2, how do you react when someone else succeeds in an area that you're involved in? A, I'm genuinely happy for them and celebrate their success. B, I'm happy for them, but also reflect on how I can improve. C, I feel envious and immediately think about how I can outdo them.
Hmm. I am divided between B and C. I was a lot more C. I am matured to be a little bit of B, but I will go with C. I think that's still in me.
Okay. Okay. I actually am weird in this way. I'm actually A, which is a little bit different. And I wasn't always A. I think I was A later in my career. And I just kind of always thought like, and I do this anyway, I think in the normal course of business, like thinking about others' successes and being happy for them brings you joy. And it's kind of like what's good for the universe, what's good for that person. Like if you're happy for them, it kind of comes around.
Yeah.
Is what I think. So I'm probably between A and B, but my first instinct was A.
Okay, go with A. We need people like you because I am.
But again, I think this is interesting, right? It's all context. How do you approach challenges or obstacles in your work or personal life? A, I take them as they come and do my best without stressing. B, I see them as opportunities to prove myself and grow. C, I see them as competitions that I must win no matter the cost.
I am a B, I think, a solid B.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Next one. Go ahead.
It will be blatant lie for me to say I take them as they come and do my best without stressing. No, there's
right.
Stress there. I wish there weren't, but no, that's why it's a solid B.
Yeah. Well, any time that you feel that stress, it is probably because you're learning and growing, right? It's unfamiliar territory.
Yeah, constantly going through a growth spurt.
Four, in group projects or team settings, what role do you usually take? A, I'm a supportive team player who helps ensure everyone succeeds. B, I contribute my fair share and help the team achieve its goals. C, I take the lead and strive to be the best, often pushing others to keep up.
C, I have tendencies to jump in and try to lead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like, do you want to serve? No, I don't want to serve. You can go ahead.
You go. Keep it rolling. And then five, how do you feel when you lose or don't achieve something that you wanted? A, it's disappointing, but I quickly move on. B, I feel a bit down, but use it as motivation to do better the next time. C, I can't stand losing and will dwell on it until I find a way to win.
A solid B. I mean, I get disappointed, but I'm like, okay, let's move on and see what can happen next.
Yeah. I would say, and this one is a C for like physical things like tennis and sports. And I would say probably B for everything else that's interesting or a goal that I'm trying to achieve. But I'll put C that was the first thing that came in my mind. Six, when setting personal or professional goals, how do you measure success? A, by my own growth and happiness. B, by how well I perform compared to others. C, by being the best and reaching to the top in my field.
Well, I was a C, I became an A. So whether I am happy or not is foundational to how I measure success. But these questions make me think, Christine, like if I took this test at 22, right, college graduate versus late career stage person over here, let's just say a little more mature. I think the responses would vary. So I am just thinking out loud for my own perspective evolution. It's very interesting.
Yeah. There's, so you landed on A now, but you would have been a C?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think actually some of the work we did, and you still do at Microsoft, around growth mindset really helps, like, get us grounded on being less of a know-it-all, but more of a learn-it-all. And when you're growing and learning, you're developing, right? You don't have to be the best at everything on day one, and you know, doing something in a more measured way actually helps you over time, I think, really, you know, master things.
That's right. That's right. That's a good mindset, because when the growth drives the results you seek, but that is the objective, not the results themselves, that really helps.
Mm-hmm. And then the last question, how often do you compare yourself to others? Rarely, if ever, is A. B, sometimes to gauge where I stand, or C, it constantly, it drives me to be better.
Constantly. And that happens just by itself. I survey, I compare, and then I move on. It's not something to be obsessed about, but it's almost like a reaction.
Yeah, you're always taking in data and evidence to see, well, you know, how am I doing versus others, or how am I doing versus myself. I love the Matthew McConaughey, I think, said this in an Oscar speech, that he's always chasing his best self. Uh-huh. He sees him in front of him and like all the things he wants to learn and do and grow. And I always like that quote, because I think that's a great way to live, great perspective. Yeah. Okay. So how did you come out? Mostly A's, B's, or C's?
Well, I just did my tally, and I think I love this test because it's keeping me honest. I ended up with 2 A's, 2 B's, and 3 C's. And as much as I talk to myself that my competitive streak is tamed, I guess it is not as tamed as I think it is. It's still there. So I have the competitive tendencies, I think, more than maybe I admit to myself. So I ended up with C's. How about you?
Yeah, I had 5 C's, 1 A, 1 B. Go ahead.
What do you think about that? Are you surprised?
I'm not surprised. And most people who know me really well would say, yeah, she's super competitive. And I think more on if there's any like little games or certainly the physical sports, you know, golf, tennis, all of that, I always want to, you know, do well. Probably less so in a business environment. And that's changed over time. That really has changed over time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a win at all cost anymore.
Yeah, that's right. I feel the same way, but apparently I still like to win.
Yes. If you're not first, you're last, right? That's the great quote from Talladega Nights.
Yes. I think there are all kinds of sayings that, you know, have been incorporated into the way we are wired and trained and inspired, like second place is first loser and all these things, right? Nobody gives you a medal. Nobody remembers you for second place. And to get second place in anything, that's pretty darn good, actually.
Mm-hmm. True. That's very true. That's very true. Well, something to think about, a study published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology suggests while competitive individuals often achieve more, they may also experience more stress and lower levels of overall happiness. Mm-hmm. So we might have to check ourselves.
I am constantly checking myself. This is the improved version.
Mugay 2.0.
I may need to evolve into a 3.0. So this is the improved version. It used to be more intense. So take it down a notch. But I think I have room to go. So I think being mindful of it is like step one. Is this the case on anything?
Yeah. Has anyone in your family ever told you, oh, you're being too competitive?
No. I think in my family, I have been encouraged to be competitive in terms of academic excellence, career, life in general. I think my husband and I recognize our competitive streak, why we just cannot let anyone win in playing a simple game in the family. And our kids do the same. And he says, well, are you surprised? I mean, they are our children. They are acting like us. So there's a recognition of that. And there's been an encouragement of that, as long as you are not like compromising your health and your well-being. And But I don't think anybody told me to be less competitive.
How about a couples game night? Have you guys done those with other couples, and does that change things?
Well, they don't go well.
I was thinking the same thing. Like what I do when I am with Paul, and he's a wonderful guy, wonderful guy. But after a couple's game night, I'm like, who are you? You've forgotten everything. Because we don't think the same. And that's why we work really well as a couple. But in a game situation, he's just like, oh my God, will you just stop? Like, it got to the point where we would do these couples game nights and we just have to break up. Like, we're not going to be on the same team. Yeah. It's just better for our relationship.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I know this for a fact. I was on a call and Brad is making some signs asking me a question, apparently, on where the garage door is opener, where the garage door opener is. I'm like, I don't know what you're doing. Like, I don't know what that is. He's like, you would be terrible at charades. We could never play that game.
Yeah, it's like, is it me or is it your clues? Let's think.
You can't see how conflict will arise pretty quickly.
So funny, so funny. So other things on the topic, a couple to sort of wrap it up, positive aspects of competitiveness. Of course, the drive to excel is there. Being competitive can push you to work harder, seek out new opportunities, persist through challenge. They also say competitive folks have usually higher resilience. They can continue to push even when things get tough. Goal-oriented, and generally also are ready to take on more risk and drive innovation, and which also makes a lot of sense. Now, there's always the flip side of the coin. So potential downsides are burnout, the relentless pursuit of winning can lead to burnout if that individual is not balancing their competitive drive with rest and self-care. I think you mentioned this, strained relationships, couples game nights, recovery, unethical behavior. Of course, this is like competitiveness at an extreme. If you're going to take a shortcut or something that might undermine the efforts of someone else just for you to come out first is certainly, a huge, huge downside or a terrible outcome if taken too far. And then the last one is, perhaps having a real narrow focus and winning at all costs can, maybe cause some individuals to not see the bigger picture and the broader opportunity that could be present if they're just focused myopically on just winning this piece of whatever they're tackling. So thoughts like that, anything else that you would add there?
So I think spot on, and I'll go back to how I've been reflecting on this in the beginning. I think a certain degree of competitiveness is essential because I'm thinking for all the things that further our society, whether that is medical research or ways of doing anything better, there's this desire to compete, but compete to make things better against the prior versions, right? That's the kind of competition that is really awesome. I think, the lines are drawn when it goes too far and the other extreme, like you mentioned, legal, ethical competition. Mm-hmm. And I think that's those are the boundaries. When it's within those boundaries, I think it can be good. I think about this a lot actually, because that's also a bit of a balance between being completely satisfied with where you are versus an element of dissatisfaction that may drive you forward to make things better. We need that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we were talking before the podcast started about being competitive with yourself. And nowadays you can track your steps. You can track your exercise. And how do you think that that is coming into play with people in their third chapter of life? Any reflections there?
I think the type of competitiveness may shift a bit. I think it may shift towards more mindset of service as well as mindset for wellness. Really making it more about you and your impact rather than keeping up with others. And I think that's a very healthy evolution. And yeah. I see that in myself a little bit, even though the test says I still have ways to go. But I find that to be a very welcome evolution of maturity and a thinking of service of others that may not always be possible in our younger years.
So tell me more about that. What does that look like on a day-to-day basis?
I am thinking, you know, how we prioritize our time, right? I choosing to volunteer. And I think, we can always be strapped for time, but I am finding that I prioritize my time better to go volunteer once a month somewhere. And that brings a lot of joy and inspiration, and it brings a richness of dimension to life that perhaps may not have been there before, because I am so busy competing intensely on this one dimension. So being able to rebalance that a bit and make life richer, and it doesn't always have to be volunteer. It could be picking up a hobby or activity of interest and saying, I'm just going to try this. I'm going to spend some time on it, whether it's music, sports, art, something like that. So that rebalancing, the focus a little bit off from that singular obsession, perhaps, that may be channeled to a given area. I just find that to be very refreshing. And I think when we look at high-performing individuals, whether it is athletes, musicians, and for whatever reason, they may have to shift their focus at some point in life. And that is really hard. But then once they find the next thing that speaks to them and the impact that they can drive, it can be just, huge and profound for them as well as for the community around them.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Find your next big thing. One thing I've been doing just pretty consistently, actually, I have a 27-day streak, if I'm going to brag.
All right. What is
that? Duolingo, learning Italian, And it's one of those apps that's great in terms of collaborating with, other people who might be on the app. And, it has some nice gamification that like keeps you learning, even if it's like 10 to 15 minutes a day. And I think it's really helpful. And in terms of being competitive with yourself, you're like looking, how are you doing versus, the people who are close to you in points. And then, they give you a window of time where you're either going to go up to the next league or you're going to go down or stay where you are. And it just also, helps you learn. They've really built some cool AI tools into it now where you can even talk to someone.
Wow.
That's, they have a video call where you can have a conversation, not with a real person, but an AI bot that gives you a conversation and checks, how you did. But it's been fun. It's been totally fun.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think the notion of gamification to learn something new, I hear that from others as well, how it keeps you in the game and keeps things interesting. We were talking about this, Christine, before we started our podcast. The other thing that I think is pretty pervasive is competitive parenting. So we talk about competitiveness at our work, in our sports endeavors, family night game. But the competitive parenting is also a thing, I think. And it can be again, too much of a good thing. There was an article about this in New York Times on how parenting has evolved to the point where the competitiveness of it actually is starting to be even more harmful on parents than it is for kids.
Because
you know, you are constantly trying to find things to curate experiences for your kids, enrich them, to prepare them for a path to success in life. The whole extent of what goes into that keeps getting more intense every year. And that is not necessarily, I don't think, the fault of the parents, so to speak, but the whole change in the environment that we live in, you know, it could be global forces, it could be market conditions, it could be economic circumstances. But then bringing it on yourself even more. As you curate experiences for your protege. Another example of competitiveness that can go wrong and south at times.
Yeah. I see that especially come out during college applications, right? Yeah. Like you have some parents who are like, we put junior ahead of you know, or put them forward on 30 different college applications. And, you know, of course they're all the like best Ivy League schools and you're like, okay, good luck. Yeah.
That was one of the questions that we did in the multiple choice, how you define success influences your competitive outlook. It's all interconnected. It's good to reflect on and maybe take measure. So as we wind down today's session, any parting thoughts that we may want to close with?
Yeah, I think it was interesting just to do the quiz and then, you know, see where you came out. Always balance is important in these things. Making sure the other thing you mentioned earlier is seeing or doing a check-in, right? Like, how does your competitiveness, if you have it, or lack of competitiveness, how does that show up with others? It would just be interesting as we, you know, continue to learn about ourselves, you know, just to get that feedback and see, is it beneficial and where is it not beneficial in some situations so that we can, you know, perhaps bring it back a bit to... In my case.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Chris, to pull this out outline as well, the situational aspect of it. When to dial it up, when to dial it down, when to lean in, maybe as a follower in a particular setting, as opposed to always wanting to be a leader, when to collaborate, when to compete. I think being able to assess and dial it up or down could be great.
Yeah. Maybe even think about, you know, yourself outside of yourself. Would you want that person showing up every day in that way, in this situation?
The course we gotta ask ourselves time to time, at least, you want to be around this person if they were acting in that way. And, you know, it can be yes or it can be no. So just taking a little bit of stock of it. Yeah.
Exactly. So we will include the quiz in the notes if people want to take it, if they're, you know, in a place where they're not driving, etc., and reflect on what we discussed today. And I guess with that, we will wrap it up. And until next time.
Let's go compete.
Winning. Always be winning.
in it to win it. Or otherwise, point.
What's the point? All right.
Thank you for listening. Our hope is to spark a little joy, inspire, and educate our listeners in ways to live an even more meaningful life. If you have reactions to share from what you've heard, please visit our website, refirement.life, to leave a voice message. You may even be featured in a future episode. To keep in touch, subscribe to our podcast, Refirement Life, using the podcast player of your choice. Always remember, you are never too old to set a new goal or to dream a new dream. Thanks again for joining us on this episode. Until next time.